Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
You are listening to Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a podcast about Linux, open source, and amateur radio for everyone. Now here are your hosts, Cheryl, W5MOO, and Bill, NE4RD.
Hello and welcome back, everyone. This is episode 619 of Linux in the Ham Shack and our 140th weekender. This is the most terrific amateur radio podcast on the internet, by the way. This week, we're sharing what we've been up to, along with a random topic from our topic wheel and a quick trip through some hedonistic exploits. But before we get into that, we should let you know who we are. For our silent key, Russ, K5TUX, I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD. And yes, welcome back, everyone. We're here getting ready to have a nice weekender. And obviously, we'll be off next week for recording. So, this will have to hold you over for the next couple of weeks. We're sorry about that. But occasionally, we have to do real life things that do come up. And speaking of things that are going on in our real lives, let's kind of go over what we've been going through this week since the last recording.
All right. So for me, my big food adventure this week was trying to recreate a food from a memory of my grandmother, who died over 40 years ago. I finally figured out what it was, thanks to Google Foo. And I'm sharing the details with everyone tonight in the recipe corner. Computer-wise, I'm dealing with mostly probate stuff right now. And I've learned that I need to get my own information put together so when I die, folks, probably Bill, won't be guessing at passwords, usernames, and where my accounts are located. And that's been an interesting experience, to say the least. Radio. It's still in Russ's office. It hasn't gone anywhere. Still hasn't been turned on since Bill was here in February. Maybe the next time Bill's here, I'll turn it on. We'll see. In fact, I'm sure I probably will. Holding up, huh? The antenna is actually doing really well, considering it's been storming almost every single day. No tree limbs through it yet.
Unless that tree is hanging on, right? It falls apart.
Well, it could. Yeah. Some of the winds have been pretty substantial around here. But yeah, so far, everything's good. And otherwise, Mother Nature is being extremely temperamental. It rains almost every day, which is good because we suffered from a horrific drought this time last year through basically now. But it's also very annoying. And hail, always hail. Hail almost every day. So, and currently at 8 p.m. on the 7th, 8 p.m. on the 7th Central Time, I'm under a tornado watch. So, yay, gotta love Mother Nature and her tantrums. So what's Bill been up to?
I just saw on Facebook too that they had, like a tornado go right through Springfield or something like that. Like warnings up for that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I missed that.
Yeah, it was like an hour and a half ago or something like that.
Yeah, that was about the last time that the really bad storm rolled through. So,
yeah. Yeah, well, for me, I don't think I did anything fun food wise this week. It's been pretty simple stuff. Computer wise, I've been working on Xlog. since Andy said, people should start working on Xlog. So I've been taking Claude for a walk on the code base and having it sort of work through updating it to the latest GTK and stuff like that, just to see how bad it can get and how poorly Claude does. And it's on task 16 of 20. It's trying to finalize some container stuff and packing the API in there, and has already gone through the upgrade from GTK2 to GTK3, which it thought was the easiest route before it dealt with all the deprecations between 3 and 4. So I'm interested to see when it finally finishes. I haven't really been putting too much time in looking at it and watching it and clicking through it and stuff like that. So I've kind of Anytime I'm in front of the computer, I basically will say, okay, where's it at now? Oh, it needs me to click yes and move forward. So, you know, probably not burning through too many tokens, but it's been a long slug. And I'll report on that probably by next week. It'll be finished when I actually have time to finish clicking the yes buttons and stuff like that and letting it finish and seeing if it actually runs. To see if it's any good. So, oh, sorry. Dying there. Nothing on the radio front. I'm really kind of going to be prepping all the computers for National Jamboree coming up here this summer for the K2BSA. And I'm sort of compiling everything together, and I got the radio to test everything with, and I have all the computers out finally. So yeah, I'll be working on those, but probably not this week. This is more of a next week or the week after thing once I get back from vacation. I did go out. I did some fun stuff. I went to a Mumford & Sons concert Wednesday night. Was it Wednesday?
Cool. We saw Mumford & Sons twice. We loved both shows.
Oh, really? Yeah, this was with Sierra Farrell. She opened for them and then did some stuff with them as well. It wasn't Wednesday. It was Thursday. It was the 4th. Yeah, so we went there. It was in Bozeman, so we drove to Bozeman. It's about 2 hours away from the house. It was in the Bobcat Stadium there where Montana State plays, or Montana State University, MSU. The Bobcats. And it was really good. I enjoyed it. The weather was just beautiful. We were actually on the shaded side of the stadium. So, the sun doesn't go down until late, very, very late up here. I think it was after 10 o'clock before the sun was, you couldn't see sunlight anymore. It was actually dark out. So, the concert was great. I realized I don't really know a lot of their catalog. I've heard a few of the songs, but I enjoyed the show. It was really cool, and I'll probably listen to them more now, I guess. So, it was just interesting for me because it was like a friend said we should go to this concert, and I was like, oh yeah, I was kind of interested in it. I don't really follow them, but anyway, it was cool. It was cool. It was a cool concert. Great. They played for I don't know. It was pretty late. It was like 2.5 hours, maybe something like that, straight, no breaks. So it was a good concert. I think it was the first one on this tour in the U.S. Was here in Bozeman, which was kind of neat to be at the very beginning of the tour. I think they did one show in Vancouver to start the tour. So new tour, Peacemaker tour or something like that. I don't even know. not that kind of a fan that would be that knowledgeable of stuff. I did buy a t-shirt. Okay. So I did do my, bought the tickets and the t-shirt. So, it was great. It was fun. Nice evening, beautiful evening. And then just got back to Billings and back to work. So tons of stuff to do here in town. Anyway, that gets us over to our topic section, which is, of course, the time we pull out the topic wheel. And we did test it a little bit earlier and is not playing nicely with my audio setup right now. And I don't feel like plugging in a computer to pipe the sound into my soundboard and then run it through like I did last week. So for tonight, you get my lovely dulcet tones of me being a picker wheel for you. as we go through the topic. So we have a huge topic list here that Cheryl has composed for us for based upon people sending in topics, and I guess this is also out of our old topic list of things. So we're basically using this as our list to go through. So I'm going to click myself and start spinning. and you might hear it is actually running on my computer, so it's going tick 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 tick.
Yeah, it was just barely hear it, but way 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 in the back.
Yes, it's way in the back. But our topic has been picked, and this is an interesting one. We might have to discuss like what defines a cartoon. But what is your favorite cartoon character?
Oh boy!
is an animated film a cartoon?
Or? I don't know. Maybe. I guess it would be, but usually when I think of cartoons, I think like Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking too, but it's like, yeah, cartoons have evolved from
just
a Saturday morning thing, you know, when you're watching the Looney Tunes and all that stuff. Well, I'll let you start, and we'll kind of scope the conversation based upon your response.
All right. Well, I guess we could do it both ways. We could do Saturday morning cartoons and movies. So, for my favorite animated movie, and boy, this is going to be a struggle because I am a huge Disney animated movie fan, but I honestly think that my favorite Disney animated movie has been Coco, and Russ loved it as well. Russ's favorite Disney animated movie was Lilo and Stitch. He thought that was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Yeah. And he would occasionally, you know, if things are going weird around the house or whatever, he would always say Ohana, which is, you know, family. So I'm like, yeah, well, okay, you know, I get it. But yeah, he loved Lilo and Stitch. But he also loved Coco. We would both cry. So just like, all right, yeah, whatever. You know, of course, I actually saw Song of the South before they essentially outlawed it.
Or they canceled it completely, yes.
Yeah, I just kind of removed it from life. That was, I think, probably one of my very first go to the movie theater movies to go see.
Yeah.
Was Song of the South. So, and of course, I grew up with the Disney princesses and stuff. So, you know, there's always Cinderella and things like that. But yeah, my favorite is Coco. Russ's favorite was Lilo and Stitch. And probably my second favorite of all of those would be Finding Dory. Or Finding Nemo, not Finding. We're talking about Dory Walgo, duh. Finding Nemo. So, because I love that movie too. So, and as far as Saturday morning cartoons, I was a big fan of the Smurfs. Well, okay. Yeah. Flintstones, Smurfs, and the Jetsons. I think probably the Jetsons are number one, then the Flintstones, and then the Smurfs. I think that pretty well takes care of my Saturday morning cartoons. And of course, there's, you know, the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote, which doesn't everybody like them? So
they sort of have to be liked, right?
Well, yeah, kind of. Yeah.
So it does say favorite cartoon character. So like out of those selections of really awesome cartoons, like which, like what character really stands out in those groupings? And I like the idea of like talking about the full show first and then diving into like a character commitment.
Well, I do have a huge commitment to Mickey Mouse. Mm. So I like a huge everything.
But you didn't mention a Mickey Mouse movie.
I didn't. Well, no, because I do like Steamboat Willie. And when Russ and I went to Disney World this last year, he actually found a stuffed Mickey in the Steamboat Willie style.
Oh, which is now a domain, public domain.
Public domain. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, he went, we saw it at Animal Kingdom. He saw it at one of the gift shops, but he wanted to get it for me as a surprise. And I was never far enough away from him to actually for him to grab it and get it paid for. So we went to Disney Springs on our trip into Florida on Monday or whatever that was. And then we did some shopping. And at that point, it was super packed. So I went into the main, you know, Disney store and did some shopping. And he like parked on a bench outside. He's like, I can't, these people are getting to me. I was like, okay, I got it. And I did my shopping, and then we went back, like on Wednesday night, cause they had charged me double for a couple of things and I had to, you know, prove to him that I had, that had didn't happen. And while I was doing that and tangled up, it, cause that took a half hour, he went and bought the Steamboat Willie for me. And so that was, you know, when I got, because he met me at the car. He's like, I'm headed to the car. I was like, okay. And I didn't notice he had a bag. But when we got back to the car, he was like, you know, happy birthday, Merry Christmas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, here you go. I was like, okay, thank you. You know, so, but yeah, no, it, you know, as far as I guess I, again, love Disney stuff. Huge fan of Mickey Mouse, love Steamboat Willie. That was, I don't know, I think it's the whistle part at the beginning of, you know, of him in the Steamboat Willie cartoons. Yeah. Mickey Mouse is definitely at the top of my favorites list. And it, once upon a time, we had a house in Arkansas, three or four blocks from where Russ worked until he started working from home, literally. And that house was completely decked out in Mickey Mouse.
Nice.
Mickey Mouse dishes, Mickey Mouse posters, pillows, futon cover, comforter, bedspread, you name it, it was Mickey Mouse. So yeah, that was, a lot of people walked in and went, wow. Curtains. They're like, this is kind of overload. And he was like, I told her to do whatever she wanted to do. This is what happened. They're like, okay, whatever. So yeah, I guess my overall favorite character would be Mickey Mouse, with Minnie kind of pulling in a close second. Yeah.
All right, so I'll do my animated films. I like a lot of them. I think my favorite animated film, I think, is probably WALL-E. I really liked the character in it, and I like the fact that there's not a lot of talking, which makes the movie more enjoyable, because it's more like emotion and feeling and stuff like that. And I really think WALL-E is probably one of my favorite animes. I do love Coco. I've seen it probably a million times now. I pretty much like it for the songs and the story and stuff like that. But yeah, WALL-E is, I just think it's, well, it's humorous.
and it is. And, you know, I hadn't seen WALL-E, and finally Russ is like, just sit down and watch this. Yeah. You know, and I was like, oh, but Eve. And he was like, oh, whatever, you go for the girl, whatever.
It's funny. I love it.
It is. Yeah. And we both liked WALL-E too. I think every Disney movie that we ever saw, like Big Hero 6 and everything else, there are pieces to all of them that we really enjoyed. Yeah. So, but yeah, WALL-E was cute. So,
that's a, Saturday morning cartoons. You know, this has probably been distorted by me watching so many cartoons with my kids. I'd be somewhere between, like, you know, SpongeBob, SquarePants. SpongeBob is pretty funny. I love the Animaniacs when they were on. Hello, Nurse. Just because it was despicable humor and more adult based than kid based, as a good cartoon should be. I did watch a lot of Smurfs when I was a kid, and geez, of that age, what did I really like? Not even certain. I actually liked the Gummy Bears too when I was a kid. Gummy Bears bouncing here and there and everywhere. I watched that so many times.
I don't know that I remember that.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Funnily enough, when Russ moved to Missouri, his personalized plate on his truck was Wacko.
Yeah.
So I was like, where did that come from? He's like, Animaniacs.
Animaniacs. Like, what? Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, I guess there's so many choices there. It would be hard to pick. I mean, everybody has, like, I guess something that kind of settles and resonates with their childhood and stuff like that. But I think at this point I've lived through my children's childhoods too. And it's kind of weird, because they didn't watch Bugs Bunny and stuff like that.
That was too old, probably.
Yeah.
I'm Bugs sure Bunny, it's probably still on somewhere, but
yeah. Yeah, like MeTV or one of those old old timey shows where they show the cartoons from the 60s and stuff like that. I guess we could probably finish this up with one more, since we talked about Disney. What is your favorite Disney princess movie?
Oh, that one's gonna be hard.
You can only pick one, so you can't mention one.
I know. Let me debate this out real quick. I think it's probably gonna be Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. Oh, that's a good solid pick. I'm gonna go with Princess and the Frog, just because I love that movie.
I haven't seen it yet.
Really? Oh my goodness.
I have not seen it. Now Russ was like, we should watch that. We should watch that. We never got around to watching it.
Yeah, so, coolest princess ever.
Cool.
Highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. That's my personal favorite. I think all of my kids agree that's their favorite Disney princess movie as well. So we have definitely watched them all. Well, I think
at least
we have,
20 or 30 times.
Yeah. I think we have beat this topic to death and added some more bits to it. So we were able to expand on it a little bit. But let's go ahead and move on to... the whole point of this podcast on the Weekender is to talk about hedonism, and we're going to get right into this weekend in hedonism with Cheryl's Recipe Corner.
Yeah, so the recipe I mentioned earlier in the beginning was essentially chicken paprikash. Mine didn't turn out quite as well as my grandmother's, and I think it was because I don't have Hungarian paprika in the house, and I didn't bother. I was winging it by things I remembered her dumping in the pan. And so I was trying. And again, this memory is 40 years old. So I was like, all right, I got to figure this out. You know, because I've not eaten this. Actually, it's older than that, because I've not eaten it since I was 11 or 12. So, but it's at least a 40-year-old memory that I was trying to recall and kind of doing okay with. But I just started throwing stuff in a pan that I thought she used, and it came out pretty good, to be, you know, to consider the fact that I just used regular paprika and I didn't have the spice aspect that Hungarian paprika typically adds. So, and later when I figured out doing Google Foo that it was chicken paprikash, I went Hungarian paprika. How do I substitute that if I don't have it? You should add some cayenne to it. And I was like, oh, that's probably what was missing. Because I added some garlic and stuff, and it kind of got it to where it was, but it needed a little more. And yeah, probably adding a little cayenne would have taken it there. So again, the recipe will be in the show notes, but it's some chicken, some spices, and some egg noodles or rice, if you want to serve it on rice. I did add a couple of notes. It does use sour cream and cornstarch or flour to thicken it up, but you could use cream cheese instead, and that would take care of needing the thickening aspect of it. So, and leave the sour cream out. So again, all the instructions and everything and all my notes are in the show notes. One thing I did do that my grandmother did not do is I kind of turned this into a one pot meal. So, because I'm getting to the point where I'm lazy about washing dishes. So, less dishes, more better. I added a few steps to it, but I've still only dirtied one pan. So, I'm happy about that. So, and my drink corner this week is for a blueberry lemonade. And this is a refreshing mix of blueberries, lemonade, and vodka, or rum, if you so choose. And with this, you can mix this up for the grandkids or the kiddos as well. And it's blueberries, sugar, salt, lemon juice, water, and your beverage, your alcoholic beverage of choice. So pour them some and then stir some rum or vodka into yours. And you're all set. So
I thought you were talking about giving the kids vodka for a second.
No,
like, oh,
no,
my goodness.
No. Leave the rum or vodka.
Only when
out.
You want to put them to sleep, right? You
know? Well, okay, yeah, there is that. I'm pretty sure my grandmother used whiskey on my gums when I was teething.
Oh yeah, that used to be a remedy for sure.
Oh yeah. So, and the last thing is Russ's drink corner, which obviously I've now hijacked and or Bill. And I bought this bourbon specifically to take to Hamvention. And I walked into Total Wine and said, I need something with an ABV of 56. And they handed me a half a dozen different bottles. And this was one of, I believe, three that I bought that I took to Hamvention. So, but see, Joseph Magnus Bourbon Cigar Blend. We actually shared a dram of it around the fire pit at the hotel with Steve KJ5T on Saturday night during Hamvention. The bottle that I've got is batch 457, bottle number 20, and it was purchased in late April from Total Wine in Springfield, Missouri. Cost on the bottle was $259.99. So, in my opinion right now, was it worth the $259.99? Probably not. But whatever. So, I did do a little bit of reviewing on it before I popped down a credit card on a counter. And a lot of people said that it was worth it. So I was like, all right, what the heck? I'll buy it. You know, the mash bill is undisclosed. It's a batch specific blend of various aged bourbons sourced from different distilleries, primarily MGP and Barton, combined with their proprietary triple cask whiskey. Wow. Because each batch is uniquely crafted by master blender Nancy Frawley to achieve a specific flavor profile that stands up to a cigar. The exact mash bill percentages vary from batch to batch, etc. All batches do follow a blueprint of blending high rye and low rye base bourbons, though. So this and the notes that I have here were all taken from her blog, from Nancy Frawley's blog. But the aroma on it is a range of savory and sweet mint notes, along with dark cherries and citrus fruit, from a blackberry bourbon smash cocktail with muddled mint, candied orange citrus wheels, and chocolate mint chip ice cream. The taste has breathtaking sensations of wintergreen mint, tobacco, chewing gum, sarsaparilla, and Thai sweet basil with ripe mango. And the finish is long and savory with lemon balm tea, creme de menthe, and Cuban mojito cocktails with mint and lime. The ABV is 56.19. I poured a little bit in a glass, and I don't smell any mint in the aroma. I do smell berries, and it smells like grapefruit.
Candied blood orange, because that doesn't really
well, smell. Yeah, probably. Because blood oranges do have a different twang than a regular orange. So.
Yeah, I tried that too at Hamvention, and I didn't get any of the mint. So I was like, mint.
No. Yeah, mint. No. And mint. I just took a sip of it. Yeah, I just took a sip of it. And I don't taste any mint. And usually with me, I was able to pick up more of the tastes, like mint and things that Russ couldn't. Yeah. I don't pick up any mint in the taste or the aroma. And
I would say the tasty notes are a bit biased, but it tastes really good. I remember it tasting quite nicely.
The finish does taste lemony, and it says lemon balm tea and lime. It says that there's creme de menthe there too, and I don't.
Perhaps not this batch, right?
Well, that was a tasty note for specifically this batch. I did bring some water with me, so let me add a drop of that.
See what happens. Just in case.
Yeah, so let's see if that changes things any. It is very sweet on the palate.
Right, so, that's because it's finished, right? It's finished in sherry cask or?
Amoroso and I forgot to get that. But sherry, Amoroso, and something else.
Cognac, so. I think, right?
Cognac, yeah.
That's what it was, yeah. Yeah, perhaps that takes away some of it, but I don't know. I did not get mint anywhere in that. I mean, I could tell it was definitely higher in rye. It does have sort of that spiciness that comes along with, probably like somewhere in the 25 to 35% rye mash bill, but obviously it's not published what it is.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So adding a little bit of water to it, I faintly taste a teeny tiny bit of mint.
You're willing yourself into it.
No. I mean, it's there, but I mean, it's barely there. So I'm not sure why she kept going on about mint, because it's just, it's not mint heavy at all. So, but you know, adding water did change the profile of it, which sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Well, do we have a score on this thing?
I'm going to give it a 85.
Oof, low.
Yeah, it's low. I just, it did not reach out and grab me. I was expecting a lot more. So what was your score on it, if you remember?
You know, it wasn't, like, I wouldn't put it in the 80s. I'd probably give it an 89, maybe a 90, somewhere around there. Okay. Based upon, like, everything else that I've seen, you know, rust grade over the years and stuff like that.
Right.
Because it's 85. I mean,
okay, maybe I'm being a little.
I think you're a little harsh there. That's
I am. Okay, yeah, maybe. I'm basing that also on what I paid for it.
Yeah, well, you know, the sting of the wallet. The
taste, and yeah, you know.
Yeah, sometimes that, you know, I was like, oh, I just shouldn't have bought that. You know, I've definitely had that with a bottle of Peerless before, because Peerlesses are small batches, and right. Yeah, not every batch is the same, and not all of them are as good as some of the Peerless ones should be. So yeah, there's some variety in that for sure. But yeah, no, that's, I mean, it's an honest score for that particular bottle and your particular palette. So, I mean, yeah. But yeah,
I think that's the worst I've ever rated a whiskey. So
definitely tasted, you know, I would expect more, you know, just a smidge more. Smidge more for sure. Yeah. So expectations probably, you know, thief of joy kind of thing.
Yeah. So yeah. If you're debating buying this at that price, I would say
move on.
Yeah.
Move along.
Because there's been much better ones that I've tried over the years. Either that Bill had or we had or whatever, that were a lot cheaper and much better. So yeah.
It's still nice to drink. Like, it is a solid.
It is sipper. A solid drink. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to want to be mixing anything with it just because.
Oh, definitely not.
The scores.
Yeah.
Because we nick it down on the score a little bit. But like, yeah, it definitely tastes good. I mean, that's the scotch you brought was way better, but. That was a really good scotch. So. totally different.
But yeah, and because I had the Sagamore Rye that I also brought, and you're like, no, I have that at home.
Yeah,
we didn't even get into that. So yeah, we tried your Remus, which I think you covered last time. So
yeah,
Remus you brought. So yeah.
That's cool. Well, I'm going to, what do I have here? So as we probably mentioned, or I probably mentioned the last couple of times, even in our Hamvention Roundup, Cheryl brought me like a tote full of beer. And I'm not kidding when I say a tote full of beer.
Well, it was a 27 gallon tote.
It was the bigger
full
one.
Full of beer.
Not the small tote, the big tote. Full of beer and
local beer. Yeah.
So. And I've been going through quite a bit of them because I perhaps have a problem. But I try to keep it down so I can kind of remember and keep them together and stuff like that. And today I have this one from Piney River Brewing Company. And where is this one out of? Bucyrus?
Yeah, Bucyrus, right? Which is Bucyrus, like South Missouri. Central Missouri. So,
and I've had a few of these, not this particular one, because they're all different beers. So that's the thing. They're all different beers. And so sometimes just going through them, one after another is not a very good idea because they all taste very different. And I've been trying to like have like a beer like each day, kind of just to see what it's like. This one's a low ABV. It's a it's an easy drinking IPA, as they like to call it. This is called the Low Water Bridge IPA. It's a hazy, juicy India Pale Ale, and it's only 4.8% alcohol. So yeah, pretty low on the ABV scale. So probably also low on calorie counts and stuff like that. If you're watching your waist on these drinking all these beers, which I'm not. and it tastes really good. They have the taste of the Ozarks around the top of the can, and it looks like they print their labels, because this is one of those stick-on labely things to the can, so that's kind of cool. And Low Water Bridge IPA, brewed and canned in Bucyrus, Missouri, by Piney River Brewing Company. And yeah, I mean, if I don't know what the distribution of this stuff is. I'm kind of saving all the Boulevard stuff for later. Just because I think that Boulevard's heavily distributed everywhere.
Yeah, Boulevard is heavily distributed.
I think some of these beers probably don't leave the state very often.
Piney River probably hasn't. In fact, I would guess probably most of the ones that I brought you from the southern part of Missouri don't leave the state, or they might make it to Arkansas or Oklahoma or Kansas. But Yeah.
Things I think like taller. Yeah. Had some tall boys in there, and yeah. I think they had like fancier cans, like really printed label, like printed cans instead of the peel and stick kind of labely thing. I bet you those probably are distributed, but I kind of drank those first. So I don't have those anymore to review, but those are really good. I definitely enjoyed those. And I can't, there was one, I think it was by these guys as well. Let me look here. I'll just look at their, I will know if I, any river a brewing company. Let me just, brewing company. Here you go. Cyrus. Cause I had one, yesterday that I was like, that one is not that great.
Interesting.
It was the, I was just wondering if it was theirs, because it was a similar, I've been trying to keep like drink the same kind of labels back to back. So I can, I'm like staying within the family of beers.
You should take pictures of them and go, this is a no go.
Yeah, I know I should, but like, I don't know if they're going to, yeah. Yeah, it was from this one. Yeah. Black Walnut Wheat. So I had this one yesterday. It's also by the Piney River Brewing Company. And yeah, I didn't like it. It was not my favorite. I drank it all. I mean,
well, because that's you don't waste alcohol.
I do not waste it. Someone went through the trouble of brewing it and putting it in a can, and I have it, so I'm drinking it. So it doesn't matter if it's not great. But like, I didn't really like that one.
Was it very black walnutty bitter? Because black walnuts can be extremely bitter.
I was surprised at the lack of just non-character in it. I think that was it. It just sort of like, meh.
Right.
Meh. And I did have, I had that Float Trip lager from them right before that too. So I did, I had like two. So those were the two I drank yesterday. And the Float Trip was pretty good. I mean, nice clean lager. So I was figuring like, oh, I can have something else, because a lager's, you know, doesn't really destroy your palate like an IPA does. Like I wouldn't have anything after this IPA just because... Yeah, right. Or like maybe another IPA I'd have, but nothing I actually want to care about the taste of, because it does kind of destroy your palate a little bit. But the black walnut wheat, I was kind of disappointed in it. It sounded like an interesting idea, and it just didn't do anything for me. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I mean, they're doing a good. I would still say they're doing a pretty good job. That lager was pretty solid. This IPA is a solid IPA. I'm probably certain I have some of these other ones in there that I haven't tried yet, because I'm noticing the labels. I'm noticing the labels. I definitely have at least one or two more of these. So I wouldn't write them off yet. You know, it's fine. Okay. So the Float Trip Lager is really good from them. The Low Water Bridge IPA here is pretty tasty. It's just not very strong. So if you want something that's and you happen to be in, you know, Southern Missouri and looking for a local can, you're not going to get plastered on this unless you drink the whole six pack or something like that. Nice low ABV IPA for you. Low Water Bridge IPA. And that's all I got for that. So we're on to announcements and feedback, Cheryl.
Alrighty then. So obviously you can support the show, and we need all the help we can get. And you can do that via Patreon, PayPal, merch, sharing the podcast via social media, and rating us in your podcast application. We need feedback, comments, questions, show topic ideas. Email us at info@lhspodcast.info. We have the AFOS repeater up for sale. It's a Yaesu DR1X refurb HRI 200 and BPBR circuit WP639 4 cavity duplexer. Package deal, if interested, info@lhspodcast.info. There is a memorial service set up for Russ at our home in Mount Vernon, Missouri, on November 1st, 2026. Everyone is welcome. If you'd like to join us, send an email to info@lhspodcast.info, and we'll send you more details about that. Or there is a Facebook page, and the link is in the show notes. And it gives you pretty well everything you need to know. And our latest thing, I booked our Dayton hotel this morning. The properties opened up for Marriott in Dayton this morning. So we will be back at the Spring Hill Suites in Beaver Creek, which is where we stayed at this year. And it's about 10 minutes from Hamvention. When I booked the room this morning, the cancelable rate was $176 a night, I believe. And that cancellation is good through May 18th, 2026. So 2 days before check-in. I believe that's correct. Because I believe we check in on Thursday. I believe Thursday's the 20th. So this place is convenient to a ton of restaurants, a Walmart. It's got a pool. It's got a workout area. They serve breakfast. Am I forgetting anything about what they offer?
So, no, they have a bar.
They have a bar. That's true. And they have a nice big fire pit outside. So
yeah, convenient there to the mall and all the food little places at the mall and everything else. It was quite convenient. Sam's Club is right around the corner. So if you want
cheap gas, there's a Walmart across the street or next door to Sam's or something. Just don't talk to Bill about his gas expense at Sam's
Club. Yeah. Hopefully next year.
Hopefully next year will be better.
I am happy that my truck waited to die until I got home. So it's a
did it officially die?
Well, it's not officially dead. It's definitely in the limp mode right now. The emission system is not happy.
Right.
I have to do some fixing on that, some mechanicking on that here in the next couple of weeks, and get it ready for yet another trip across the country to West Virginia. So hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully it'll be fine. I mean, everything is fine. It's just I got to get through the codes and probably replace a couple of sensors and stuff like that, or finally bite the bullet and drop all the emission stuff completely and be one of those rolling coal guys. Yeah, I want to roll some coal.
Well, this is what, at least your second that I know of, your second experience with it in 3 years, because you broke down coming back.
Yeah. You know, the little Golf never had emissions problems because it didn't really have emissions.
you had gone to
the truck is a pain in the butt. Yeah.
Yeah. You had gone in the truck, you had the camper, and it died on you in like South Dakota or whatever. So,
yeah. Such a shame. Yeah. I should have deleted it then, because like the cost of me fixing that was basically the cost of deleting everything too. So,
right.
And of course now it's even more complicated to get delete kits, but like technically you just order them and get them sent in. So it's not really that big a deal. And then you just kind of, turn everything off, zap the ECU in the car or the computer in the car, and then magically all the stuff goes away, and then you retrain the car to drive without it. So, I'm considering it, but I'm also just considering just dropping the DEF tank and replacing the two sensors that I know are bad, because when I was driving around, I noticed the DEF tank went empty on me twice,
right,
and it didn't give me a warning that it was low. So the float sensor is bad for sure.
It's bad, right?
And now, because the float sensor, basically not giving me warning that it was going to run empty, the quality sensor is bad as well. So, So now I have like two error codes that I can't get out of without start replacing stuff. I might be dropping that tank here shortly.
Well, this is not a case of taking it to O'Reilly's and having them clearing the codes.
No. So like these are kind of hard performance codes. Like you have to have a bi-directional rider to do it. So if you want to take it off, you have to fix it, then throw it into like a regen mode. And it's more complicated. I have the thing that wipes the codes off too, but I don't have a programmer to basically rewrite the actual thing to say, you don't really have this part anymore, so ignore it.
Right.
So I'll probably be doing some investment in that if I decide to continue down this path with the big white diesel. But anyway, we did not get any feedback emails. I mean, we did have a couple of random stuff that popped in, but nothing worth sharing on the podcast. So let's go right down to subscribers and supporters. We had some new people that joined us on a Facebook. Nope, we didn't. Oh, you had a local friend. A local friend joined. Yep. So we'll ignore that local friend. Hi, local friend from Missouri. all the others have been kind of quiet because I realized today that I did not post the 618 episode out, which normally every time we post something, it gets activity and la-di-la-di. So I just posted on X, Twitter, and Facebook our latest episode with Andy Stewart, KB1OIQ. So that's been out for a week. There's lots of listens on it, so hopefully we'll get lots of feedback on that episode. We did get one new person join us on Discord. That's Hollywood Jack. And we did have one person that was willing to join us on a weekender night here in the live show, and that was Mike K6GTE. And I'm sure he's totally excited about me working on Xlog with Claude, because that's not something he would be doing, right? Like, what in the heck are you doing?
Yeah, why?
Mike looked at it and he said no. Yeah. He's totally hardcore. Thank you, Mike. Well, I think that brings us down to the end here. I don't see any loose strings on the list of things that we have in the show. So, Cheryl, why don't you wrap up the show and get us out of here?
Well, that brings us down to the end of the show, and thank you for listening to episode 619, our 140th Weekender. We'll catch you next time with our short topic six episode. For us, K5TUX, I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD73.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a community-sponsored podcast. Live recordings are Sunday nights at 8 o'clock Central Time. Our homepage can be found at lhspodcast.info. You can support the podcast via Patreon at patreon.com/lhspodcast. We're also on Discord, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Mastodon. Contact us via email at info@lhspodcast.info or via voicemail at 1909-547-7469. That's 1909-LHS-SHOW. We also have merch. So until next we meet, remember to always heed your hedonism.